Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 6. And as you are doing so, let me just express gratitude to all of you that have been pleased to visit us this evening. As we did send an invitation to sister churches, and we're grateful that has pleased the Lord that you could be with us this evening as we witness the ordination of our two brethren to the office of deacon. Acts chapter 6, I commence reading from verse 1, and we read the first 7 verses, and we concentrate on the first 3 verses. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in their daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pemanas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and lay their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. It is always exciting, and also it's always an exciting time when church ordains church officers. And in this case for us, it's a great joy to be able to witness the setting apart of our two brethren to the office of deacon. Such events or ordination signals that the church of Christ continues to grow, and God is building his church as he had promised. And as a church continues to expand, there's need to look at what is God saying and how is God directing us so that we become faithful to what he's doing in order to even be more effective in the ministry of the world in the world. And as a church here at Kabwata Baptist, we have examined these men and found them to be qualified by God to serve in this office. And therefore, as an eldership, we are confident that these men will be a blessing to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here at KBC and beyond. Now, coming to our passage that we have read, we see that the early days or the early years of the early church were great days. And there was a lot that was happening in those days. You see, after Apostle Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. And then in the next chapter and the chapters that follow, you see about 5,000 were saved and added to the church within a short time. And the vast influx of converts proved the validity of the word that the apostles preached, and that God had promised that he will build his church. But you also see that there were two parallel accounts that were happening when you look at the first 6 chapters of the book of Acts. After Peter's sermon, You see that the devil tried to constantly attack the work of God. And you see that he tried to do that through the deception of Ananias and Sapphira. And God caused Peter to see the deceitfulness and dealt with it so that to prevent the infiltration of the evil one into the church. But also see that the evil one tried to prevent the spread of the gospel by causing the apostles to be arrested and the Sanhedrin threatening them that if you preach the gospel or if you preach in the name of Christ, you will be arrested. And you see that the early believers, instead of running away and failing to share the gospel, they went before God and cried for boldness to preach the gospel. And when you come to Acts chapter 6, again you see the church is growing. And as it continues to grow, again the devil tried to bring in an attack on the work that God was doing. And in this time, he tried to bring in a complaint from a section of the congregation. And this complaint was going to result in the apostles deviating their time to the primary calling of preaching and of prayer so that they begin to serve tables. And again, God guiding them, they were able to see that there's vast majority in the congregation that need to be attended to. And the fact that the church continues to grow, if we give our time to serving tables, we will have less time to the word and to prayer. And this will result in us not preaching the gospel, and hence people will not be saved. And so God enabled them to bring a proposal to the congregation so that they can choose men, 7 of them, that will serve tables so that the apostles will continue with their primary responsibility or calling, that of the word and that of prayer. And what this did is that it removed the burden from the shoulders of the apostles to faithful men who continued the ministry of mercy in the congregation. And what we see in this passage, that the office of the deacon was created to fulfill certain needs in the church, or to attend to certain needs within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in looking at this passage, or in looking at the office of the deacon, or the office of deacons, I want us to ask 2 questions and to answer those questions. The first question I'd like us to ask and answer is, why do we need deacons? Why do we need deacons? And the second question will be, what kind of deacons do we need? What kind of deacons do we need? So let's deal with the first question. Why do we need deacons? We need deacons in order that the church may mirror the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. We need deacons so that the church may reflect the unity of the Spirit of God in the bond of love. And this is something you pick, though not clearly, but you'll see it as we proceed from verse 1 through to verse 3. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in their daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Now, do you see what is happening in this congregation? The congregation is growing. And as it grows, this congregation was predominantly, if not completely, Jewish Christians or Jewish converts. And this church was in Jerusalem. And everybody who was a member or part of this church was a convert to Christianity. They had been converted from their Judaism, and now they had become Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you had some who spoke Greek, some who spoke Hebrew, some probably who spoke Aramaic in this congregation. And as the congregation was growing, the Greek-speaking people in the congregation began to see, or at least began to think, that their widows were getting the short end of the stick in as far as their daily distribution was concerned. And probably as they were complaining, they were looking at what was happening in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, where when the numbers were growing, people were selling their possession and giving it to the apostles so that they dealt and met the needs within the congregation. And so they had a basis to bring this complaint before the apostles when they thought that their widows were not being given the daily distribution. And probably so they even began to think that they're being sidelined on account of ethnic background. And so they brought the matter to the apostles. And the apostles realized that for us to attend to this issue, it will take our time, and we need men that will be appointed from amongst ourselves, that we can give this aspect of ministry, so that we concentrate on what God had given us, what God has commanded us to do. And you notice that they did not say that the ministry of the word is so important that we just have to drop this aspect or this aspect of the life of the ministry. We just have to drop this messy ministry and concentrate on the preaching of God's word. The apostles realized that this was very much part of the life of the ministry in that congregation. And so they refused to drop the ministry of love in deeds and works. They wanted it to continue. And the Bible tells us that what they had proposed was well received. The apostles did recognize that this aspect of the ministry was absolutely essential and vital in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to attend to both the physical and the spiritual needs of the congregation, so that no one will be complaining in the congregation, and that together as a body of Christ we'll continue to march on as I spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need also to appreciate that while the apostles were under the guidance of God in coming up with this suggestion, I would also like to believe that they also remembered The commands of the Lord Jesus Christ during the Upper Room Discourse as recorded in John chapter 13. And I'll quickly read to you John chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. You record Judas has walked out. And as he walks out now, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to pour his heart to those that had remained his disciples. And this is what he says in chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And they did recognize that this was a command that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to them. And so, even as they are looking at what's happening and the complaint, they realize that this is vital. And they remembered the Upper Room Discourse with their master, how he demonstrated love, and how he humbled himself and washed their feet. And a few days or months from that event, he hanged on the cross for their salvation. And the apostles knew that if we don't attend to this matter, we are not responding in love to our brothers and sisters within the congregation. And they remember the injunction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did not want this complaint to flood the congregation. And so they appointed men who primarily devote themselves to serving tables, and in serving tables, they were to reflect the unity of love in the church. They did not want the church to be divided, those who had and those who did not have. They did not want the church to be with the haves and the haves not. No, they realized that Christ said, by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you show love one for the other. And they had this in mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ had clearly demonstrated it to them, that love must not just be in words, but also in actions. And so even as they are thinking of this office, they are thinking of maintaining the unity in the local church to reflect the unity of the church and the love for one another. Why do we need deacons? We need deacons in the church so that the church might really reflect the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. Deacons help the church to be alive to the realities and the needs within the congregation. And as they gather the needs from the members and bring them to bear upon our minds, and as we respond to these needs, we are showing that we belong to one another. And it's a testimony to the world that our love for one another is not just in words, but we are willing to go out of our ways and be practical in our love for one another. And so when deacons appeal for benevolence, appeal that there is this need in the local church, we must see it as an opportunity to show the world that we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for us to show that we are one family, and there must be not anyone in our midst who should be lacking. And therefore, these men are set apart to bring these issues before us. while the elders are busy with their primary responsibility within the local church, God has ensured that we have men who begin to show us that there are these realities in our midst. How can we work together and respond to them? This is why we need them. We need deacons, brethren. Because it's very easy for us to be so caught up in our busy schedules and our busy lives and think that everyone is getting along as we are doing and everyone is surviving as we are doing. But when these men bring these as prayer items, as items needing our attention as a church, we begin to realize that while God is blessing us, we must not forget our brothers and our sisters who may not be in our situation. It's very easy for us to be carried away with our own lives. And these men, or at least the office of the deacon, reminds us that we are one and there's need for us to reflect the unity of love in practical ways. And you see what Luke tells us when this was done in verse 7, that the word of God kept on spreading and the number of disciples continue to increase in Jerusalem. The apostles were responding to the leading of God. And these men were helping the people of God. And the people of God felt taken care of. They felt they belonged to a family. And they had this zeal to show the world that were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the number of disciples continued to grow. And that's our prayer as well as an eldership, that with our deacons and the two being added to their numbers, they will adequately respond to the needs within the congregation. But these needs also needs our support. We need to help the deacons in order for them to fulfill their duties. As I bring these items before us, let's all unite and pray before God. But also let's respond to these issues in practical ways so that no one within our midst will lack, as we see it from the book of Acts. That no one will be complaining within the congregation. That all of us will be one family pushing the frontiers of darkness as we continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord who promised to build his church will increase the number of his disciples here at KBC. And hopefully that will continue beyond. Let's quickly look at the second question. What kind of deacons do we need? We've seen why we need deacons, but what kind of deacons do we need? And I'll simply bring out three things from our passage. A lot can be said, but we'll just look at three things. We need men who are willing to serve. The kind of deacons we need are men who are willing to serve. Verse 2 and verse 3. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Now, the apostles are not in any way saying serving tables was beneath them. They simply recognized that we have this primary calling to feed the people of God. And therefore, in order for us to be faithful to God who's given us this task, we need to find men that will be willing to serve, so that this serving tables is the duty that we'll give to them. And so they advised the congregation, and it pleased them. And from the duty of serving tables, we see the example of the early church, that deacons must be men who are willing to serve. Men who will tangibly show the love of Christ in the body, his church. Men who will be willing to serve Christ. Those are the men you need in the office of the deacon, of the diaconate. And you see, the Apostle Paul also says the same thing when you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. He shows us that deacons are servants, but he also describes their work as service. And so showing us as well from Paul's letter to Timothy that the office of deacon is not the office of elder in training. No. Even though we know that some deacons will eventually become elders by the leading of God, but the office must not be looked at as the office in which we train elders or elders in training. No, it's a distinct office in the body of Christ, and men who are appointed to this office must be willing to serve the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want men who display a desire to serve the body of Christ in serving tables. And this is essential to the growth and the health of the church. The office is not a stepping stone to something more important in the body of Christ. No. Office of deacons, when properly understood, as the scripture shows us, it's absolutely essential to the health and the growth of the spiritual body of Christ called the church. And you want men who are willing to serve. And you clearly see that is what the apostles also put before the congregation. The men who be willing to serve tables, so that once you appoint them, we can give them this duty of serving tables. But secondly, you want men who have the recognition from other believers. You want men who have the recognition from fellow believers. And this is what you see from chapter 6 and verse 3, and the first part of verse 3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute. Good repute. Deacons must be men of good reputation within the congregation. And notice what the apostles are telling them. The saints were to pick from among themselves men of good repute, men who live with them and serve with them and come to the same congregation, men whom the rest of the congregation have observed and have examined. And these are the men that they were to be appointed to the office of deacons. They were to take from their own numbers men they have observed, men they are able to testify about their lives, men they are able to say something concerning their doctrine, their character, and their domestic lives. As you see, Paul also alluding to that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. They were not just to pick any man from the congregation. They were to pick men who had a good reputation, giving us an idea that these men are people or are men that have been under the scrutiny of the congregation. Men that are already serving within the congregation. Men that are showing the grace of service to God. Men that had the grace of God, but also men that were daily growing in Christ. Now, all these qualities are supposed to be in all of us as Christians. But they begin to be more prominent in those whom God is calling to offices within the church. And so God sees how faithful and how committed they've been to Him. And now God wants to bring them to these public offices so that their gifts are no longer just serving a small sect of the church, but they begin to serve the church of Christ. And these are men that must be chosen to the office of deacons. Men of good reputation. And the early deacons, the first deacons, were to be entrusted with the finances, the resources of the church. And surely they needed to be men that the congregation were able to trust. Men that they would not point fingers at. So that when they were to bring their resources, they know that they are in good hands. Men of good reputation. And these are the kind of deacons we need even today. Men that we've observed to some great measure their lifestyle. And we're able to say we can trust these men with the stewardship of God's resources here at Kabwata Baptist Church. Men of personal integrity and godly character. Men that have the reputation, a good reputation from the members of the local church. And so, brethren, this is what God requires of you. And this is what God expects of you. This is what God has put as a standard if you are going to remain qualified and stay qualified in this office that He has called you to serve. And this means that you must be men that will spend time reading God's word, time in praying for God's people, praying for yourselves, and praying that God will grant you wisdom and grace to be able to execute your duties for His glory. So that as you continue, the rest of God's people will continue to trust you as you serve God in this capacity at KBC. You must continue being men of good repute. And in the third thing we see on what kind of deacons do we need is that we need men who have the recommendation of the Holy Spirit. Men who have the recommendation of the Holy Spirit and are daily experiencing His guiding. And again, that's what you see in verse 3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty. Deacons are to be men controlled and led by God the Holy Spirit. And the word full means complete, lacking nothing, thoroughly saturated with. And what the Bible is telling us, that these men who are to serve as deacons must be men who've demonstrated that their lives were filled by the Holy Spirit, and constantly they were displaying the virtues of the Holy Spirit. What this meant is that they were to be men who were controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. Men who were daily being guided by the Holy Spirit. Men who are daily being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Men who are on a daily basis in tune with God, seeking the mind of God, and therefore displaying the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, whether at home, at work, or at church. Men full of the Holy Spirit. Men who are daily receiving the recommendation of the Holy Spirit. Men who are more interested in knowing the mind of God and is leading in as far as their lives are concerned, but also their service in the local church. And the Bible is not telling us that these must be perfect men. No. For we all know there's no one perfect. Only Christ is perfect. But we're being told that we must be men that are very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Men that you say, what is God saying? Men that will be willing to follow the mind of God at the expense of their opinion or that of their friends and families, because they know this is what God is saying. If we choose men to the office of deacon who are not full of the Holy Spirit, they will not faithfully discharge the duties that God wants them to discharge. There will be a thorn in the side of the church for as long as they serve as deacons, because their mind will be in hostile and in total opposition to the mind of the Holy Spirit. And here we're being told they must be full of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, if you're going to be a blessing to God's people at KBC, seek the mind of God. Be sensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Let him be your guide. Let him take full control of your life. Let him guide you. And as he guides you, through you, he will be leading the church of Christ. But also being full of the Holy Spirit means that you must be men full of faith. Men that will say, my mind is finding it hard to accept this, but God's word is very clear. And therefore, I'll follow God's word and I'll trust him for the results. Let him do as he pleases. But for me, I'll follow what he guides me. And what he's saying to me now is to trust him. There will be moments when there will be so many needs within the church. No resources at all to meet those needs. Go before this God who set you for this office and plead with him to lead you and guide you so that you arrive at a decision that will be pleasing to him. You must be men that will make decision in faith, but with the full guidance of the Holy Spirit. We must also see, even as we conclude, that when this complaint arose, the apostles did not say, let's give it up and let's just continue to preach the word. The apostles knew that the basis of showing our love to one another is on God's word. And therefore, the two needed to continue in the church of Christ. The faithful preaching of the word and responding in love to our brothers and sisters. And these two must continue in the church of Christ. The word must continue to be preached, and through the preaching of God's word, God is saving and transforming lives. God is sanctifying us in the truth. And we must not begin to look at which one should we drop. No, we clearly see here that the apostles sought the mind of God and said, this must continue, and this also must be there, so that as the word is being preached, and God is using his word to transform lives, and people are being saved from their sins, those that will be in need are being met by the deacons, and all of us as a unity, as one family, we continue to push so that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. And if we meet physical needs, we will be able to attend to them. But all this must be based in the truth of God's word. And the Lord honored their proposal of the apostles. It pleased the whole congregation, and God continued to increase the number of the disciples. Deacons must serve God in this manner. We still need deacons today. And these are the kind of deacons we need today. Deacons that will display visibly, tangibly, the love of Christ as they give and attend to the needs of the congregation. But these men cannot do it on their own. They need our prayers. They need our support. We are one body, and God is just using them to be able to bring to mind the needs in the congregation, and each one of us must commit themselves to serve God and to be faithful to God in whatever calling God has given you in this congregation. We must not simply say, these are the duties of deacons, let them attend to them. They are not all-knowing, and they will not be all present. But as a congregation of God's people, we must see to it that we too are displaying the love of God in a real and tangible way as we are praying for one another and meeting various needs within the congregations. And those needs that the deacons will bring and to present them before us, or that we may join our hearts together and plead before God and ask that God will grant us wisdom so that when we respond to these needs, we will show the world that we are disciples of Christ and we will love one another, not only in words, but also in actions. And we pray that God will build his church here at KBC and beyond. We pray that God will help us to see that we are one body, and all of us as a body must remain faithful to the head, who is Christ Jesus. And oh, we pray that it will be said of us, as it was said of the church in Acts chapter 2, that the newcomers devoted themselves to what the apostles were practicing, which was the preaching of God's word, the fellowship, prayer, and the breaking of bread. These 3,000 individuals found a culture in the church, and they joined what they were seeing happening in the church. Oh, that we may treasure the ties that binds us in Christian love, and that this testimony will go a long way. May the Lord bless us, and may the Lord bless the men he set apart this evening, and may he use them now until he pleases. Amen.